pruning for growth. Pruning for growth. P-R-U-N-I-N-G for growth. Pruning for growth. The Lord wants to prune us this morning. Hallelujah. And before you say amen, you better be sure that you are ready for pruning. You better be sure you are ready for pruning. John chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 1. John 15 from verse 1. Somebody say, I'm being pruned for growth. If you don't want to be pruned, don't say it. I'm not going to be upset. But if you want to be pruned, say, I am being pruned for growth. I'm being pruned for growth. Amen. Amen. Give me the New Living Translation. And I want us to read it all together. Everybody look. Don't worry. You don't have to look for it in your phone. Just look on the screen. Hallelujah. We're all going to read it together. Because I want you to pay attention to the words. I want you to really pay attention to it. That's why we're going to read it together. Let's start. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Just keep going until I say stop. Praise. Okay. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitless unless you remain in me. You cannot be fruitful, sorry, unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and are in them, we produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. That will not be your portion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Like one of my pastors says, say minus me. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Let's stop there. I was going to go to 16, but let's stop there. So what does it mean to prune? So I did a lot of research because, you know, how many have drank prune juice before? Yeah, it's nasty. So today's message, God might be taking some nasty things out of you. Yeah. Amen. As he begins to prune you. Amen. So to prune means to reduce, especially by eliminating superfluous, unnecessary matter. So the things that are superfluous, the things that are unnecessary that we carry about, pruning means it takes those things out. It means to cut off or cut back parts of for better shape or more fruitful growth. Anything that is stunting your growth in any area of life, today the Lord will prune them out. In the name of Jesus Christ. It means to cut away what is unwanted, what is superfluous. It means to shave, to trim, to clip. And in Greek, the other word for pruning is kathairo. It means to cleanse. It's kathairo. It means to cleanse. The Lord will cleanse us even afresh this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word is zama, which means to prune. The same thing, to prune. So from the scripture we read, you will agree with me that pruning is essential for every area of our life. So it's not just so that the tree can look beautiful. It's for every area. Spiritual pruning. You know, as I began to prepare the message, the Lord began to expand in my heart that we can talk about spiritual pruning. We can talk about financial pruning. We can talk about marital pruning. You know, we can talk about so many areas of our life that we need pruning. And I trust God that God will expand. God will continue to expand it. So it might be a series. Hallelujah. Amen. Just giving you a heads up. So the pruning process, as there are several processes for pruning, and there are reasons for pruning. So sometimes you want to train or direct the growth of a plant. So if you look at the picture that was shown, so you see this tree, and it has branches that are going all over the place. So they want to train it to be in a certain way. So the gardener began to prune it. So Jesus said, I am the vine dresser. I am the one, the gardener. I'm the one that's going to cut off all those branches that you have because I want you in a certain way. I'm going to prune you because I want you to be in a certain way. I've read this scripture over and over again until the Lord began to expand it in my heart. So sometimes you want to train or direct the growth of plants into a particular form or specified space. So you want it to be in a particular form in a specified space. You don't want it to take too much shape. You don't want it to be all over the place. So the gardener comes and begins to prune it. So when the Lord prunes us, what happens? He directs our steps. He redirects our focus. You know, like your GPS, recalculating or redirecting. He said, no, you are not going where I'm asking you to go. I'm going to refocus you to this place. And that process can be painful. How many of you have missed your way and the GPS redirects you? And you know what thing about the GPS? Sometimes, since I started using Waze, it hasn't happened to me. If you are not using Waze, go and start using Waze. It's the best thing in town. When I was using Google Map will redirect you to a place where there is no road. But the God that we serve, when he proves and redirects you, it's to the right path. It's to the right path. So he directs, he redirects your focus. He redirects your attention. He redirects your desires, your wants, your needs, and some certain areas of your life so you can conform to his specified space. So he deletes some people from your life. He deletes some things from your life. He deletes some habits from your life. He deletes some characters from your life so that we can grow. The things that will prevent our growth, God takes those things away. But you know what we do? We refuse to let go. We hold on to it. You know, when the gardener looks at the tree and he sees all the branches, he said, yes, I'm prospering. This tree is prospering. It's growing. Because you see, it has so many branches all over the place. And you think it's growth, but it's not growth. It needs to be pruned. So painfully, the gardener goes to the tree and begins to clip off those branches that took years to grow. So those habits that took years to grow, and you didn't want to let them go, today the Lord is pruning them. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we refuse to let go. We blame God. We say, God, why? I have worked so hard for this car. Why does it stop working? But the Lord says, I have a better plan for you. This has to go for you to get my plan. So I'm pruning it out. But what do? We complain. We murmur. You know what God does? I love my God. You know, even allow those people to fail us. The things, you allow some people to fail us. He allows your husband to fail you. He allows your wife to fail you. He allows your parents to fail you. Why? Because he's the vine dresser. He is the vine dresser. I said, I want you to be dependent on me as your vine dresser. So those people will fail you. But what do? We're talking about it on Tuesday Bible study. When those people fail, we hold God accountable for failure of man. We say, God, why have you failed me? God has not failed. It's only man that we have failed. And God allowed them to fail so that he can refocus you and say, I am your husband, man. I am divine dresser. So focus on me. Let me and you have a deal. Because I keep my end of the bargain. See, the people you are dealing with, they are men. They might not keep their end of the bargain, but I keep my own end of the bargain. So I'm going to allow them to fail. We trust so much in some people, and when they fail, we're disappointed. And it is because
God said, don't trust on them. Don't depend on man. The arm of flesh will fail you. Depend on me. I hold the manual to your life. I want you to depend on me. You know, and another reason for pruning is, you know, mature plants. The plant is already mature, but they want to control the size or shape, as in the case of fruit trees. So some of us think that we're wise, we're too smart. And God says, I'm just going to allow you to fail one exam. So you know you are not as smart as you think. Because now you think it is because you know how to study. That's why you've been passing. I want you to depend on me so that when you want to take your exam, you remember to pray. And not say, because I have studied, I don't need to pray. I'm pruning you. The reason for pruning is dependency. It's for us to abide in him. So he allows some things to happen. You know, when we think we are big and we are all that, I am this, I am that, God begins to bring some situations our way that bring us down to our knees. Why? He said, depend on me. You are forgotten that I am your source. You have forgotten that all these things that you have seen, this, that was what happened to the foolish man in the Bible. The man the Bible called God in the parable, the one Jesus called foolish, he thought it was because he had walked and gathered into barns. He said, my soul, eat and be merry. For the next how many years, until I die, I don't have to worry. I have money in 401k. I have pension plan. I do not have to worry. And God allows 401k to crash for you to remember that is your source. That 401k is only a resource. Pruning. 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 We stretch beyond our limits. And God says, no, this is the capacity. You are man. You are limited within a capacity. So I'm going to prune you for you to realize. So that when you depend on me, you can begin to extend that capacity. So, during my research, I also found out that pruning, they prune trees or fruits so that it can improve the quality of the fruits that come out of the tree. So improve the fruit quality, primarily by increasing light penetration. Can you show us the before and after of the pruning? I have two pictures there, before and after of pruning. So that we can allow, so you see this, the one before pruning. And you see the one after pruning, how it looks. There is no all this, there was one that I wanted to show, but I didn't get to it on time. So it allows for light penetration. So those things that do not allow the light of God to shine in our life, God begins to prune them. The habits, the attitude, the character, God began to prune them. He begins to prune them so that his light might come into our life. As God prunes us today, his light will shine in our lives. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. But one thing that I found out is, you know, we approach the pruning of God with a... No, my research says that gardeners usually approach pruning with a great deal of apprehension. They are scared. If I cut it, will it grow again? If I take down the branches, will it look like it looked before? So if I stop doing this, will it grow again? Will it happen again? But it's a new thing that God is doing. So when you are being pruned, he's doing a new thing, just like the prophecy earlier. You know, some see it as a chore. Some dread it. Some don't like it. But God is working it out for your good. That is why you are being pruned. Say, all things are working together for my good. That song says it's intentional. God is intentional. You know, we approach God's pruning with apprehension. We don't want to let go of those mundane things of life. Sometimes we even compare our pruning to our sisters. Why is it that all this is happening to me and this is not happening to sister A? All this is happening to me and this is not happening to brother A. but you order different meals. Your destinies are different. Your pruning will be different from my pruning. So the greater the glory, the more the pruning. The general overseer gave an example one day. He said when the camp was being built, at the initial stage, he said he called these people that were digging. They were trying to construct what we call, if you didn't grow up in sub-Saharan Africa, you won't know what it's called, latrine. But it's like they dig a hole in the ground, and that's where you stool to have number two. You don't have the luxury of having a commode. So they call people to come and dig the ground. So as this man was measuring, he was measuring it wrong to favor the church. And General Vassia said he knew, and the Holy Spirit said, correct him. And he said, no, I'm not going to correct him. That's his job. He should know that that's his job. He should know when he's being cheated, that he's being cheated. So I'm not going to correct him. So he said the man dug, they agreed on the price. And the other man standing, he stretched out his hand to greet the man to say, hey, how are you doing? And this big man began to squeeze his hand. Just shake somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? And the person began to, he said he could hear that his bones were like cracking. This man was going to break his hand for nothing. And he held on, he wouldn't let go. And right there, the Holy Spirit told him, you need to tell the man that. And he said, Lord, I get it, I'm sorry. And the man released his hand. And God told him later, I will not take any nonsense from you. Others can do it and get away with it, but you will not get away with it. Because of what I have for you, because of what I have deposited in you, because of the work you will do for me, you're not going to get away with cheating people. That's pruning. God pruned him. So there are two different types of pruning. I'm preaching, but I'm not in depth yet. There are two different types of pruning. One is heading. So heading is they remove the terminal head. So the tree grows, the branches, and they cut off the head. And when they cut off the head, what it does is it stimulates growth. And when that happens, the tree lost its natural form. So when God prunes us, we lose our natural form. And that is what happens when you become born again. For those of us that are born again. So those things that you are doing before you became born again, if you are still doing those things, you need pruning this morning. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have to pass away. All things have to become new. If you were cheating before you gave your life to Christ, you should not be cheating anymore. If you lie before you gave your life to Christ, you should not lie anymore. If you envy, if you backbite, if you gossip, if you don't forgive people, all those things before you gave your life to Christ, if you don't show love, those things ought to have gone. Peradventure, there are traces of those things left in any one of us this morning. Today, the Lord will prune us. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loss of natural form. It also means that the things that they say, oh, it runs in the family. It runs in you, and you look from 4 generations, 6 generations away, and you trace down, and you see the traces. And they say it runs in the family. Loss of natural form. The Lord is pruning this morning. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything that does not align with the DNA of Jesus, that might be resident in us in our lives. Today, in the name of Jesus Christ, they are receiving pruning. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The natural form is going away. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And the supernatural is taking over. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Another process of pruning is called thinning. And thinning means the shortening the limbs. And they shorten the leaves to improve light penetration into plants. And what they do is, we don't realize as believers that when we go through pruning, it is to improve the quality of our fruit. When you are here, and some things happen, and you are here, you don't know that the Lord is bringing you closer to Him. So the tree is like this. You know the one on the top, it's going to take a long time for it to get nutrient from the ground. So they cut it so it can be lower to the ground, to the source of nutrients. So God prunes you so you can be closer to Him, who is your source of nutrients. Remember John 15 that we read? He said, you are being pruned to bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. Said, without me, you can do nothing. You are nothing. You will be nothing. That's what he said. Without me, without God, nothing. Nothing. You know, I said earlier that when somebody is being pruned, or the gardener is pruning the tree, it looks as if it's a punishment. So for believers, sometimes we think pruning is a punishment, but it is not. When God asks you to forgo some things, it is not punishment, oh. It is rewarding. It is rewarding. It is rewarding. It does not take away from a believer, but pruning adds to the believer. It's a reward. It enhances your strength. It gives you power. It gives you authority. And it enhances your growth. Isaiah 40:31 says, those that wait on the Lord, they receive, they have a renewed strength. Wait, how can somebody be waiting on the Lord and start running at the same time and not be weary? It is because when we wait on the Lord, we receive strength to run faster. We run faster. Waiting on the Lord is running faster. So when God prunes you, He increases your spiritual strength and growth. It is not easy. Sometimes it hurts. You know? But there's a reason for the pruning. Say, for instance, God forbid, somebody has what we call gangrene in their toe. If they have gangrene in the toe, if they don't cut off the toe and it spreads to the rest of the body, I had a patient that refuses for the toe to be cut. And before you know it, it spread to here. So if they cut it here, they say it's below the knee amputee. They cut it above, they say above the knee. Eventually, it became an above the knee amputee because he refused for the toe that has the little gangrene to be cut. That is pruning. If you refuse for it to be cut, it can destroy the entire body. It can destroy the entire body. It is not easy. Pruning is to cut off that attitude, cut off that character, cut off that behavior, cut off those secret sins, cut off those things that make you bitter. Cut them out. That is pruning. Sin is a spiritual germ. It is very contagious. If it's not cut off, it destroys the entire body. It can pollute the entire body if it's not pruned. You know, there was a testimony of a prostitute that was saved at the camp. She came out and gave her testimony. And she gave a testimony to say when they witnessed to her, she was on the streets. And she said, now my life is better. That is pruning. To other people, when she gave her life to Christ, they would think she's losing. Because guess what? She's going to lose customers. She's going to lose customers. That's her source of income. She's going to lose that source of income. But she came out. She was crying. Proudly saying, I am better off. So pruning makes you better off. Allow God to prune you. Letting go of that holier than thou, you know, having a form of godliness but lacks the power thereof. Let it go. A form of godliness is every Sunday I come to church, but you have not changed. Nothing has changed. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she was telling me that a lady that prays, she said the lady prays 3 times a day or 4 times a day, goes to church and all that. And said, For 1 year, she has not allowed her husband to have any sexual intercourse with her. I said, she's so bitter. She's fighting her husband. She's doing this. Her husband used to go to church with her before. And also said, I'm not going to church again. What is the essence of going to church? What's the essence of you praying 3-4 times a day? And I would do something. I would say, I'm sorry. You won't forgive me. What is the essence? So that's a form of godliness, but lacks the power thereof. Lacks the power thereof. So when God asks you to go and apologize to the one that wronged you, the person wronged you, but God says you go and apologize. He's not punishing you. Mm-mm. He's making you better. He's causing you to be more like him so he can release more grace to you. When he asks you to be quiet, when you think you should speak, when everything says you should speak, when it looks like if you don't speak, you are stupid or you are foolish, he's making you strong. Because in quietness is your strength. That's what the word of God says. He's instilling self-control in you. He's teaching you discipline. He's teaching you long-suffering. He's teaching you that in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. He's teaching you. He's putting the fruit of the Spirit in you. He's to grow you. When he asks you to forgive when you've been wounded and hurt, he's not minimizing your pain. God is not minimizing your pain. He's letting you know that you have the power to rise above the pain. He's letting you know that you have the power to rise above the hurt. He's letting you know that the fact that they hurt you now, or they've hurt you in the past, or they continue to hurt you, doesn't mean you should give them the key to your future. He's letting you know you can rise above it. You can rise above it. Because when you don't let go of this, you can't get there. Think about it. If you don't let go of this, you can't get there. Because there is a place called there. The Bible says, surely there is an end. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. Every one of your expectations will not be cut short in Jesus' name. You will get there in Jesus' name. But you have to let go of this. You have to let go of this. I don't know if you have noticed, people that are bitter, they never achieve anything. If you don't know, people that are bitter, they never, ever amount to something. People that have unforgiving spirits, they never amount to something. Anything. My parents' house, there's a woman that lived across from us. Oh, 12. There's a woman that lived across. I'm not looking at the time. There's a woman that lived across from us. That woman, I cannot forget her. We call her Mama Ki. This woman will go to church. They'll be serving only communion. She say, I'm not eating only communion. And when you ask her, she say, my husband offend me and I will not forgive him. When this woman come back from church and people are waiting, she sells, what do you call provision? She sells groceries. So she sells groceries. So people might be lining up, waiting for her to come back from church to buy things from her. All the people line up will line up. She will first of all kneel down, cover her head, and pray before she attends to them. Religion. But she will not eat only communion. She will not forgive her husband. Miserable woman. When she died, nobody showed up to bury her. Was people on the streets, my street, my parents and other landlords that contributed money to do her funeral. She died miserable. Miserable. When my mother was telling me her last few months, it was terrible. Never amount to nothing, never achieve anything. Passed it down to her children. Such that, I was sharing it during School of Disciple. Such that her children also didn't amount to anything. When God says, let go, please. It's not worth it. You think she's going to heaven? I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe she made up with God at the end of the day. But what will you say? Somebody offend you, you will not forgive the person. So you will not eat Holy Communion. And then you will pray. I'm telling you, when she, you will hear her voice first thing in the morning with her bed singing and thank you, Brother David. Singing. She goes to CAC. And you will hear the bell. She'll be singing. She'll be praying. She'll be shouting. She'll be binding and losing. What are you binding and losing? Effort in futility. Oh. Your effort will not go in vain.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When God says, let's go, let's go. When God is pruning you, allow him to prune you. Allow him to prune you. Those people that have failed you. God, it is not God that has failed you. God allowed them to fail you. So that you can depend on him, focus on him. Knowing that is your source. And when you depend on God, you will find out that God is dependable.
Amen.
That he does not fail. Why do we go through pruning? Number one, so that we can bear much fruit. John 15, 1 to 2 says, I am the grapevine. The reason I'm pruning you is that so that you can bear fruit. And he's not asking for any kind of fruit. He said, my kind of fruit. You want to bear? It's just like when you prune an apple tree, you don't expect to get grape from the apple tree. It should be like father, like son. So when he prunes you to bear fruit, it is to give him his kind of fruit. You know? If you're bringing out a different kind of fruit, then you are not his. Hear that this morning. If the fruit that comes out of you makes people say, are you a child of God? Then you are not his. This morning, you need to repent. If the fruit you are bringing out, people curse God because of the fruit you are bringing out, then you need to repent. It's time to repent. Because you should be like father, like son. Where we come from, they say, now who you think I'm resemble? Who do you look like? Who do you look like? Who do you act like? Who do you talk like? Who do you walk like? Who do you dress like? Who do you behave like? God is your father. Don't behave like the pastor. Don't talk like the pastor. Don't act like the pastor. Don't dress like the pastor. The pastor is a human being. You don't even know, God forbid, who the pastor is looking at. As for me, I'm looking at God. I'm talking like God. I'm behaving like God. I dress like God. I represent God because I'm an ambassador of Christ. You should also be an ambassador of Christ. You should also be an ambassador of Christ. Let God be your ambassador. Stand on your feet with me this morning. Because of our time, I have so much to say, but we'll continue from there next time. If God give us grace, or if Jesus tarries. But this morning, there is one thing I want us to understand. That Jesus got pruned by the Father. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Those things he suffered was God pruning for him. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. So, when a gardener is pruning, there are different kind of instruments for different kind of trees, for different kind of pruning. So, for some, you need a big saw to prune. For some, you need a small scissors just to trim it. For some, you actually need a big axe to prune it. So this morning, I want you to look unto God. I say, God, I don't know what he will require for my pruning. But this morning, I lift myself to you. I yield myself to you. Prune me to your image. I don't know what he will require. Whether I need a chainsaw, whether I need a scissors, whether I need a small saw, whether I need an axe. I don't know, Lord. But whatever it is, you know where I'm lacking. You know where I am deficient. Lord, prune me. Lord, prune me to bring forth fruit for you. Prune me to bring forth your kind of fruit. Prune me, oh God. Jehovah, prune me, prune me, prune me. I'm not asking you to confess sins. I'm asking you to ask the Lord to prune you. Whatever the Lord needs to take out of you, whatever secret sin the Lord needs to eliminate from you, whatever habit, whatever attitude, ask the Lord to prune you this morning. Jehovah, prune us this morning. Whatever it will take, Lord, prune us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift ourselves into your hands. Every one of us together, Jehovah, no matter what it will take, oh God, prune us, oh God. Prune us. You know the right instruments. You know the right time. You know when to do it. Prune us. And Lord, when we are being pruned, oh God, like Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, let us learn obedience in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us learn obedience, Lord, that when we are caught and diced, when we are broken, whatever happens, oh God, that Jesus will come out of us. That only the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. We continue next time.